Luke 3, Isaiah 60, and Ezekiel 45. I really don't know how much detail I want to go on this. I'm bored to death if I give you too much. These aren't absolute rules, but procedures to follow with public officials or public servants in this day. This may not hold true in the future. Evidently, at the end of any age, there's a problem with this. And in Luke chapter 3 was the problem that was dealt with during the ministry of John the Baptist. Okay, Luke chapter 3. So let's pray before we get any further. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand the situation, help us to realize that when we are publicly trying to preach for thee, that we want to be faithful to you, and when some overzealous officer tries to stop us from fulfilling our Christian obligations and our citizen, the responsibilities or the duties we have as a citizen also, that we could behave in a manner that we would not be intimidated, we would not be afraid, and that we could see this prospective person who looks official, that we might behave in a manner that's calm and be able to allow the opportunity to witness to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is a problem that occurred during the day of John the Baptist, during his ministry, and this is when Rome was pretty well in full swing. Luke chapter 3, verse 10. And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answered them and saith unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then came also the publicans. Okay, publicans. Put an R-E in front of that. Republicans. Okay, so this is the politicians. Okay, then came also the publicans to be baptized and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, notice the problem, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." What does that mean? Exact. Exaction. Okay, it's a very close definition to extortion. Exaction, extortion, very close. I'll give you the definition from Black's Law a little bit later. Notice the publicans, or the politicians, had a problem with exactions. Verse 14, who was the ones that were the executors of their exactions, or the enforcers? Luke 3:14, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely." That's a problem. "And be content with your wages." Okay, so there's the problem that was being dealt with in the day of John the Baptist. The soldiers. What is a state trooper? He is a soldier. Military, it's a military position. Okay, the highest, remember, the highest lawful executive officer in Lake County is our county sheriff. And any federal agent comes in Lake County, he has the authority to put him in jail. Okay, I wish all our sheriffs would understand this. Okay, now, Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 17. Now we'll really date ourselves. How many remember seeing on the police cars in the old days, "peace officer"? How many of you remember seeing that? Now what's on the side? Law enforcement. Law enforcement. Where did the idea of a peace officer come from? This book. Isaiah 60, verse 17. Okay, the doctrine of this, if you look at the context, the doctrine of this, this will be a prophetic decree of the second coming of Christ. So prior to the second coming of Christ, this will be a problem. Isaiah 60, verse 17, "For brass I will bring gold, Okay, how could we apply that? For Federal Reserve notes, I will bring gold. It's all fake. You know, and for iron, I will bring silver, and for wood, brass, and for stones, iron. And notice this, I will also make thy officers peace. There's the where we get the phrase peace officers. And thine exactors righteousness. There's that word again, exaction. It's a Bible word. It's a law word. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 45. Ezekiel 45. Remember, Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48 is some of the most boring material you're going to read in the Bible. It is giving some detailed information about the temple during the millennium. It's when Jesus Christ is the king on earth. And so he gives us a statement in Ezekiel 45, verse 9, and it says this, "Thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel, remove violence and spoil, and execute judgment and justice." Notice, take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord God. Okay, the definition of that, if you have the reference Bibles in the footnote, this would be coming from the Black's Law Dictionary. What is exaction? It is a wrongful act of an officer or other person in compelling payment of a fee or reward for his services, notice the words, under color of his official authority where no payment is due. Okay, and so that's what an exaction is. And that is what most fines are. If you go into traffic court, I say most, okay? And that's what all environmental fines, that's what those are. Exactions of a wrongful officer. You say, what are you going to do about it? Probably nothing. That's what property taxes are. All property taxes. Now, in Indiana, we've got, you know, quite a bit alert on property taxes. Eric Miller's trying to, you know, repeal property taxes. I got to step up on that. Let's just get rid of them. Okay, all property taxes is exactions. The Northwest Ordinance states, which is the official document for Indiana, states that the land should be free. Okay, and so some of these issues you can fight, some of these you cannot. Okay, and so what is our behavior towards public servants? Child Protection Services is probably the most important one you should understand this for. Hopefully you never had to deal with them. Animal enforcement officers, you know, if your poochie doesn't have a license. And so how do you handle these things? Remember, authority does not come from the badge. If it does, I have a badge in my car. I asked Heidi to get my tape recorder, and I forgot to ask her to get my badge. Okay, authority does not come from the uniform. It looks official, but it doesn't come from the uniform. Where does their authority come from? From the Constitution of the United States. That's where authority comes from, or at least that's where it's supposed to. So every officer or public official should be able to trace his authority, or it's called grant of authority, back to the Constitution. If they cannot do it, it is an invalid position. Now, when an officer or anybody acts outside of the authority of the Constitution, they are acting as an individual, not in their official capacity. And when they act like that, they can be sued, and a person can sue them in their official capacity and in their individual capacity. You sue them two ways, or list them two ways in a lawsuit. But then again, you're going to be fighting like crazy to get to win that one. That's the remedy. Now remember, we need to remember, if you're dealing with a police officer, all police officers have been indoctrinated. They say we're brainwashed. They have been completely and absolutely indoctrinated. I've got some of the disc of what they're taught. And if you use certain catchwords, if you mention the Constitution in any police officer, he automatically has you pegged in his mind that you are borderline terrorist. They have certain catchwords that they're taught that if they hear these words, they automatically got you pegged in your mind. And so you have to know these things. You have to know what their mindset is. They're taught, the police officers have been taught, that they are the thin blue line between anarchy and civil behavior. How many of you ever heard that? Anybody have ever heard that? Okay, a couple. That's what they've been taught. That's their mentality. So they're keeping civil behavior. They're the thin blue line. Now, the policeman is not our enemy. Keep that in mind. Okay, so what do you do when somebody with a badge or with an official uniform comes and talks to you? Your heart starts pitter-pattering? Or the red light behind your car, pitter-patter, pitter-patter? Okay. Usually when I saw the red light, pitter-patter was over with by then. Okay, and so what do? I'm going to give you some things. Number one, check your attitude. Check your attitude. What is our purpose of dealing with this person? Daniel 1 verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Okay, so check your attitude. How do you do that? Or what were you supposed to do when you have your attitude checked? Oh, hi there, you got a friend. Okay. Check your attitude. And the first thing is be polite and innocent. 2 Timothy, in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Be polite and innocent. What do I mean by innocent? Play dumb. One time my brother was watching me in court, and afterwards he asked me, Dave, were you playing dumb? And I said, I wasn't playing. There was no playing at all. Okay. So act like you're playing dumb. Okay. Here's the thing. 2 Timothy 2:24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. Be gentle. Knowing unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness. Notice, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Be gentle. Okay, for example, if a child protection services come in, the natural thing of any father to protect his family is to do what he's got to do to protect his family. But as soon as you behave that behavior, they say, see, I knew he was a loose cannon. So you got to be gentle. You got to divorce your emotions. Somehow you just got to do that. And some of this comes with practice. Who wants to practice, right? Okay, and so get a game plan in your mind what you would do or say or ask beforehand. Okay, so number one, be polite and innocent. Number two, be peaceable. Be peaceable, but you can have a little fun in the process. Like Gene teaches, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right. Okay, but even at that, that will come with experience. But be peaceable. Romans 12, verse 18, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men. Okay, be peaceable. What does that mean? Never touch an officer. Never touch. Do you realize as soon as you touch somebody, that is assault. If an officer puts his hand on your shoulder, officer, please don't assault me again. If somebody spits on you, that's assault. If they know they have AIDS and spits on you, that's a felony. Okay, so as soon as anybody anywhere around touches you, don't touch. Would not move. As stay as still as possible. If you walk and trip and bump into, that's assault. Okay, and so be peaceable. Very important, get that. Be peaceable. You're going to try to win or lose this thing by words. Number three, uncheck your attitude. Reluctantly cooperate when you fear for your safety. Reluctantly cooperate. He's got the gun, he's got the nightstick. Okay, I say reluctantly cooperate, you know. If you're in a situation, police officer walks in, you know, I've had them do this to me because I was walking into the secretary's office just to ask a question. The police officer followed me because he thought I was going to, you know, go ballistic. But if a police officer walks in with a gun, a good reaction would be, oh, I'm afraid of guns, don't touch me. You know, I think, be cool, Why are you deathly afraid of guns? Especially when you got it. See? So what you're doing is you're verbally objecting. Okay? So the idea, but reluctantly cooperate when you fear for your safety, but express your fear verbally. This is when you have to express your fear. I'm afraid. I'm very nervous. I just don't trust this situation. I'm not used to this situation. I mean, you play it up. Act it up if you got to. You know? And the thing is, you know, have a little fun with it, but express your fear verbally. Okay? You may be under fear, duress, or coercion, but express that. Object verbally to unlawful behavior. Remember I said in the past, if you raise no objection, you have no objection. So you object to verbally to unlawful behavior. And still under check your attitude, settle the immediate matter with as little inconvenience as possible. And then get out of the situation as best you can. But number one, check your attitude. Number two, look if you want to Matthew 21. When you are asked a question, number two, when you are asked a question, answer a question with a question. Answer a question with a question. What is your name? What do you want to know? My name is of no consequence. You know, I got to serve papers in an attorney, which is the funnest thing to do. If you're 18 years old, you become an official process server. So I was up in Cook County Court with Glenn Peterson, and he wanted me to serve his papers on this attorney. I walked over to the attorney, and I said, I have something for you. I handed it to him, and he says, are you a process server? I said, I'm over 18. And what is your name? I said, my name is of no consequence. Smiled. This common law service isn't valid. I said, have a good day. See you later. Walked right in the courtroom, the same attorney, and a judge asked him, do you get the paperwork? He said, I don't know. I was just served it 5 minutes ago. Well, I thought he's just said what I did was not valid. But he didn't need to know my name at all. My name is of no consequence. I cannot testify to that fact because it would be hearsay. Okay, and I'll explain that a little bit later. Answer a question with a question. Our Lord and Savior did this masterfully. Matthew 21, verse 23. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave this authority? Jesus answered and said unto him, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, which was it, from heaven or of men? He answered a question with a question. Okay, and you learn vital questions to ask. And then you read down through there and you can see the Lord had these guys stumped. Okay, another person who shows us demonstration of asking questions. Acts chapter 16, verse 37. Acts 16, verse 37. Acts 16, verse 37. Okay, when you have a police officer, what are you doing when you answer a question with a question? What you are doing is you're putting the burden of proof on that person. Always throw the burden of proof back on them. Always put that back on them. Well, they're going to be bombing you with questions, so you just throw it right back on them, put the burden of proof on them. That's what you're doing when you're asking a question. And when he does not answer the questions, that constitutes fraud. Silence constitutes fraud. Let's see, a couple of Supreme Court cases, or at least federal cases. Officers of the court have no immunity when violating a constitutional right from liability, for they are deemed to know the law. Okay, let's skip that one. Silence. Okay, this is a federal court case and a Supreme Court case. It says, silence can only be equated with fraud when there is a legal and moral duty to speak, or when an inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. We cannot condone this shocking conduct. If that is the case, we hope our message is clear. This sort of deception will not be tolerated, and if this is routine, it should be corrected immediately. Okay, there's the case. For example, I got a property tax statement from on a house I was trying to retain, and I looked at the property tax thing, and it just said numbers. I didn't know if it was 400 pennies, 400 grains of sand, 400 rice. I wrote the treasurer in our county and asked if this was a tax bill, and they wrote back, said, yes, it's a tax bill. I said, I may be silly, but I don't know what the numbers represent. And I asked them, what are you demanding in payment? Well, wouldn't that be an easy question to answer? She never sent me a letter back. Do you know why she never sent me a letter back? It would expose her fraud. That's why. If I was in her position, had the authority, I would have written back, well, you idiot, it's money. Send the cash. You know, but she didn't answer the question. And that property went up for tax sale, and I went to it. And then of all the 50-some properties that went up for tax sale that day, for some reason, that one they pulled from the tax sale. I still don't know why to this day. So that's an unusual thing. That's fraud. Okay, another, this is a Supreme Court in Arizona said, fraud and deceit may arise from silence, where there is a duty to speak the truth as well as from speaking untruth. Okay, so ask a question. Acts 16:37, here's Paul's question. Then Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do ye thrust us out privily? There's his question. You'll find it again in Acts 22, verse 25. Ask a question, answer a question with a question. Okay, so verse 25, here's his question. Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and being an uncondemned? Okay, answer a question with a question. Okay, you're out street preaching, a police officer comes up, or you're in a house and Child Protection Services knocks on your door. Okay, hello, what's wrong with, you know, what's wrong? What is your name? Ask the officer's name. Do you have a card? They usually have a card. May I have your card? So you got their name, because you'll forget their name. Get the card. Look at the card. Take your time. You're in control. Look at the card. See if their badge number is on the card. If it's not, ask them for their badge number. See if there's an address on the card. If there's not an address, ask them for an address. And if they say, what for? So in case I'd like to sue you. If they do not give that, that is a federal offense according to the Privacy Act of 1974. Okay? And so they are our servants. They're supposed to give that. So you got that. That's good. Whip out a tape recorder. May look like a cell phone. Hit record right in front of them. If you got a video camera, that's best. Ideal is video camera. And they will see the video camera and say, turn it off. And that's when you have selective hearing. Men, I know you've practiced with your wife. Selective hearing. Okay, so there's the time you selectively didn't hear. So you got a tape recorder. Amazing what a tape recorder does with people. Amazing how they talk. Oh, are they careful when they see a tape recorder what they say. Or going to say. Okay, so number one question. Police officer stops you. Or number one question. Is there anything wrong? First question. Is there anything wrong? Why do you ask that question? That establishes probable cause. Is there anything wrong? Okay, they tell you. Anything else? Is there anything else? Make sure that's the second question. Is there anything else? No, there's just this one. Okay, good. Why do you want to do that? Now they cannot trump up anything else against you after they got mad at you. So now that you've got them boxed in what the issue is. Is there anything wrong, officer? Okay? Anything else? Okay? Okay, and then if it's Child Protection Services, you ask the same thing. Is anything wrong? Here's what's the problem. Tape recorder, who are you? And what is your name? And what is your office? And where do you get your authority from the Constitution? See the road? Take a hike. And that's about as far as you can go with that one. That's all you need. Okay, so the question one, is there anything wrong? If you're on the highway, each of these things depends like military tactics. It depends on the terrain and the situation. If you're by yourself, I wouldn't be real cocky. If you have a witness, you can ask a few more questions. If you're by yourself, technically, ladies, getting stopped, if a police officer stops you and it's not dark, if it's dark there, I personally would not stop. The Supreme Court do allow you slow down and then you get to a lighted section and stop. And if the officer is mad at you for that, you just say, "Officer, I feared for my safety, and so I wanted to get under a light." You don't know how many thugs are out there. You know, I think Felipe told me one time in Mexico, they got guys running around, got uniforms and everything, not even cops. You know, of course, that can happen here too. So, okay, question one, is there anything wrong? If you're on the highway, you could simply ask the officer, "Am I off the street far enough for your protection?" Showing them your concern. You don't want a man to get hit right there beside you. He is not the enemy. Okay. Question two, if you're kind of taking notes on this, major question two is, okay, if he's a police officer, comes in, "Do you mind, officer, if I take notes and record our conversation?" Have a little notepad there. He will think you're taking notes. Have a secret tape recorder up in the visor, and the thing is recorded. He thinks you're taking handwritten notes. He was more likely to talk freely while you got him on tape. And so then you quit taking handwritten notes, and then now he can talk more freely, and you still got him on tape, and you've already got his permission. You see, as far as tape recording a conversation, if you are a part of the conversation, you do not have to inform the other person of the tape recorder. If you have three men talking, and a fourth man comes up and says, "Hello," and that's all he says, he can tape record a conversation. That's his one part of the conversation. Okay, now, a tape recorder cannot be used as evidence in court unless a notary public is the one taping the tape recorder and he keeps it in his possession. That is the only way it can be used as evidence, but it can be used to impeach the testimony of the person. As he's lying in the witness stand, "Do you remember I said this? Do you remember I said that? Do you remember I said this? No, I don't remember. Do you remember this? Do you remember that? No. After about 10 lies, "Oh, I have a tape recorder of our conversation. Would you like to help refresh your memory?" Okay, so is there anything wrong? "Do you mind if I take notes and record our conversation?" Okay, very important thing. This question, if an officer orders you to do something, bosses you around, "Move that car over here. Get over here. Do that." Okay, as soon as any official orders you to do something, here's the question. Is that a lawful order? Is that a lawful order? If they say yes, next question, follow-up question is, what statute or regulation are you enforcing? I thought I'd try this in court. The first time I went in court, you know, I'd heard and taught that you didn't have to stand for the judge, and I read the local rules, and local rules say that the attorneys have to stand for the judge, and I'm not an attorney, so I didn't want to stand. I didn't want to be considered an attorney. So Judge Yipu walks in, and I'm sitting down, and it sort of bothered him. He sort of tried. He must have thought I didn't have my hearing aid in, and so he started yelling and screaming. And he demanded that I stood up, and I said, "Judge, is that a lawful order?" And he said, "I order you to stand up." Now, I was not in a real ornery mood at the time. I could have said, "You didn't say lawful." And I slowly stood up. And then when we were departing, the bailiff said, "Rise." And, you know, at that time, I got arthritis in my knee, and I just couldn't stand up as quick as he wanted, and then he threw another fit. Okay, and so I was just kind of testing the waters there. That issue I usually don't fuss with. I usually try to walk in court after the judge is in there so I don't have to stand for the clown. But even at that, that's a whole other issue. Okay, so anytime, these are two questions you want to always get in your mind, anytime, any place. When ordered, question, is that a lawful order? Follow-up question, what statute or regulation are you enforcing? If they cannot give that, then it is not a lawful order. And you can do as you please. Another question, and these are a series of questions depending on your mood, depending on the situation, depending on the terrain. Another question could be, is it your intention to arrest, detain, or question me? Is it your intention to arrest, detain, or question me? And if the answer is yes, then the follow-up on that one, then I cannot answer any questions without the assistance of counsel, therefore I choose to remain silent. And I mean remain silent. Now, Jeremy Lawson's done this on a speeding ticket where he just kept remaining silent. And he's pretty good at this. It's pretty funny. Now, okay, here's the idea of remaining silent. What does that mean? That means your name also. Okay, for example, Sam saw an event. Sam saw this thing. He saw this other dog bite this other dog. And he told this story, what he saw, to Luke. And Luke told me the story of what he saw, or he heard Sam say. What is Sam's testimony of the incident? That's called first-hand knowledge or own certain knowledge. What would his testimony be called? Hearsay. Hearsay. Okay. If somebody asks you your name, sir, what is your name? No, it isn't. Did you name yourself Luke? Did you choose that name? Who told you your name was Luke? Your parents told you. So your parents would have first-hand knowledge of this, but you have hearsay. Is that not true? Where were you born? I don't know. I was too small. Where do you live? Everywhere I walk. You know, one officer asked Gene, may I see your driver's license? He said, I suppose if you looked at it. And that blew over his head. Now, this is where you can have a little fun if the guy's got some sense of humor. Okay, and so you have a right to remain silent. You do not have to tell them anything. Okay, some Supreme Court cases, I'll read them for you. Okay, this is a federal case and a Supreme Court case, and it says the privilege against self-incrimination is neither accorded to the passive resistant, nor the person who is ignorant of his rights, nor to one indifferent thereto. It is a fighting clause. Its benefits can be retained only by sustained combat. It is valid only when insisted upon by a belligerent claimant in person. That means your attorney cannot do it for you. Then it says, this is citing a Supreme Court case, and then it says, the one who is persuaded by honeyed words or moral suasion to testify or produce documents rather than make a last-ditch stand simply loses the protection. What are they saying? They're saying that you don't have to say anything. Now, if the officer sweet-talks you and says, would you like to, what about this and what about that? And if you start talking, okay, you've lost all right. That's what they're saying. Now, this case was about a tax audit. Okay, now this next case is also about a tax audit. Only the rare taxpayer would be likely to know that he could refuse to produce his records to IRS agents. As noted in Lipton, Constitutional Rights and Criminal Tax Investigations, the pressures on the uninformed taxpayer to cooperate with the agents are considerable. Okay, what's your thought process in this? If you go on a tax audit and you're cooperative, you think that if you're cooperative and honest, they will be lenient to you, right? That's what you think, right? That's what I thought. And they hammered you like crazy. They hammered me. It says this, first, there's always the fear of incurring a civil tax liability that hopefully might be avoided by cooperation. Also, a taxpayer may conclude that lack of cooperation will result in unwanted publicity about a tax liability. The average citizen, moreover, believes that the government prosecutes only the uncooperative individual who is unwilling to pay what he owes. Who would believe the ironic truth that the cooperative taxpayer fares much worse than the individual who relies upon his constitutional rights? That's a federal court case. What does that mean? Tax audit? You don't have to show them anything. I learned that the hard way. And the tax audit I went through was what alerted me to some of these things. You have a right to remain silent. A tax audit, you are guilty and you must prove yourself innocent. I sat in a tax audit with somebody as a witness, the auditor, two victims, myself and another person. And auditors get going, okay, we're going to go through this. I whipped out a tape recorder right there. She goes, oh, you're going to tape record this? I said, sure thing. Oh, audit's over. We got to have our tape recorder. I said, oh, by chance, I got mine. I got two. You can have mine. Audit's over. It was it. Had to come back. Then it went, next time we got there, whipped out my tape recorder, had their tape recorder man, had the head henchman, had the second henchman, had me and the second guy, had the two victims, and had the auditor. Went around the room, and your name is, and your name is. It came to me, and your name is. I said, you can call me Jim. They said, we must know your name. I said, you don't need to know my name for nothing. I said, you can call me Jim. Go to the next person, next one, next one, next one, next one. And these people complied to everything, and they were basically, you know, dead ducks because they cooperated because they were scared to death. And you see, and then when we got done with it, I told them, you better get that down to zero as much as you possibly can. U.S. Supreme Court, appellate may not be punished for refusing to identify himself. Brown versus Texas. Another case. This one is called the Terry Stop. Terry versus Ohio, another Supreme Court case. Ever since its inception, the rule excluding evidence seized in violation of the Fourth Amendment has been recognized as a principle of discouraging lawless police conduct. He says, it must be recognized that whenever a police officer accosts an individual or restrains his freedom to walk away, he has seized that person. Okay, officer, is it your intention to arrest, detain, or question me? Well, I'd like to ask a couple questions. Oh, okay, a couple questions, but is it your intention to arrest me? No, I have no intentions to arrest you. Okay, then am I free to go? No, you're not free to go. Oh, then are you going to arrest me? No, I'm not going to arrest you. Oh, then can I free to go? No. Are you going to arrest me? No, I'm not going to arrest. Am I free to go? Back and forth until he either arrests you or you're free to go. One guy pulled that one where one time he said to the officer, are you going to arrest me? Side of the road. He said, are you going to arrest me? He said, no. Okay, then I'm free to go. See you later. And drove off, and the officer, what just happened? Okay, as soon as an officer questions you, that is considered a seizure. That is a temporary arrest because you can't walk away. Okay, let's see. There's nothing in the Constitution which prevents a police officer from addressing questions to anyone on the streets. Absent special circumstances, the person approached may not be detained or frisked, but may refuse to cooperate and go on his way. However, given the proper circumstances, it seems to me that the person may be briefly detained against his will while pertinent questions are directed to him. Of course, the person stopped is not obligated to answer. Answers may not be compelled. And refusal to answer furnishes no basis for an arrest, although it may alert the officer to the need for continual observation. What is your name? My name is of no consequence. Hope you have a good day. And walk away. If that's what a person chooses to do, that's your right. Same goes with fingerprinting. Fingerprinting cannot be requested without your approval. Okay, another Supreme Court case. Probable cause is not estimated. Probable cause is not established either by failing to present identification upon request by law enforcement officer. Okay, now what's the longest for a short-term questioning time period? Now, this is a federal case. It says, we have neither approved a seizure of a person for the prolonged 90-minute period involved here and cannot do so on the facts presented by this case. So that is sort of a very short time. The maximum they can start questioning is 90 minutes, and then you can walk away if you wanted to walk away. But that would be a seizure. And the maximum they can put you in jail without probable cause is 48 hours, and that's a Supreme Court case. And if it went that far, you know, I would just say, you know, reluctantly cooperate. You do not have to ever give your name. The simple answer is, I'm sorry, I cannot answer any questions without advice of counsel. They ask another question. I'm sorry, I cannot answer any questions without advice of counsel. They ask another question. How's the weather today? I'm sorry, I cannot answer any questions without advice of counsel. Over and over and over, I choose to remain silent. Now, what do you do if a police officer stops you and says, I would like to look in your car? A fun question is, my car is pretty nice, but I don't want you to look in it. But, okay, if you say no, what is his mindset if you say no? You're hiding something, right? Okay, an honest person will say, I got nothing to hide, go ahead and look. And you got a dishonest officer who drops a Coke thing right in the back of your back seat. Oh, look what I found. And so what is the answer? Well, if you insist upon wanting to look in my car, I guess you can after the dog has cleared the car. Then he's got to call for the dog to come in, sniff through the car so there's no drugs in the car, and he can't plant the car. Or you could say, you could search my car if I search you first. That's so they don't plan it. You say, pretty skeptical. Yeah, I am. Okay, but these are the lawful rights we have. And I'll give you an example where you do not have to answer the questions. When I was charged with practicing or the unauthorized practice of law, the detective down in our area called me at the house, and he said, I'm Detective so-and-so. And he said, I would like you to come down to the police station to answer questions. I said, no, I don't think so. I said, how about you come over to the church, and then we'll have a conversation at the church. He knew where I was at. He knew the church I pastored and everything. He's supposed to be a professing Christian. And he says, are you refusing to come down to the police station and answer questions? I said, are you refusing to come to the church to have a conversation? And he said, yes, I'm refusing. I said, okay, yes, I'm refusing. Have a good day. Click. And that was in the conversation. And in his police report, all he put in there that Hoffman refused to come down for questioning. And that was it. I chose to remain silent. You see, and see, that is the power that a person has, and that is your lawful right. Now, there are other questions if you want to go further in some of these things. If you're going to make a statement, I would suggest very strongly you preface your statement with, I believe, or I think. I believe or I think. Okay, in court, you cannot look at the judge and say, Judge, you are a low-down scoundrel. He will charge you with contempt of court. Now, you can say, Judge, I believe you're a low-down scoundrel. Now, he cannot charge you with contempt of court lawfully. He may charge you with contempt of court, but he cannot do it lawfully because that is your firmly held personal belief. I think, I believe. And as soon as you use the word "I believe" in an affidavit, and it invalidates the entire affidavit. And if you looked in my case, the police officer's affidavit was nothing but hearsay from top to bottom. And I pointed that out in court, and they just ignored it. Okay, and so, okay, other questions you could ask and have a little fun with them is, are you a member of a paramilitary organization? Are you a de facto or a de jure officer? That would really impress them if you throw that one out. De jure. Sounds impressive. De facto is a fake. De jure is the real thing. Okay, and you throw out some of these words so to let them know you know a little bit. You can ask them, who do you take your orders from? He may say the chief. Who does he take his orders from? He may give you the answer. Who does he get his orders from? Where do you get your authority from in the Constitution? Did you take an oath as a public servant to uphold the Constitution? What paragraph in the Constitution grants you your authority? Here's another one you can ask in front of a tax auditor. If I answer any of your questions, and if I answer them wrong, can I be in trouble? What's their answer going to be? Yes. No, but they're going to say, oh, no, you don't have to worry about that. Oh, would you put that in writing and sign it? They ain't going to put that in writing and sign it. Okay, if they say yes to that question, then you say, oh, then I will stand up on my Fifth Amendment right. And really, don't go any further. Okay, and so another fun thing would be is if you get questioned. When you get questioned by anybody, okay, any police, anything, make sure you answer truthfully. Make sure that you know beyond a reasonable shadow of doubt it is the truth, it is something you witnessed, something you heard, and it is not hearsay. And take your merry old sweet time to answer. It drives them nuts. What is your name? I don't know if I can answer that question. And if they try to hurry you up, you just look at them and say, well, I've been put under oath and I'm trying to do my best to answer truthfully. Don't make me nervous. I mean, hey, if an attorney has got you under deposition and a banker's over here and you're taking 3 hours to do a 15-minute deposition, the banker's over there getting a little nervous. Man, the old account's going up. Take your time. This is one thing that we people do when we get in court. We always get in a big hurry. I know I did. I always got in a big hurry, big hurry. I wanted to say what I wanted to say because I felt like I was taking people's time. I annoy that. I hate that. And so I would say what I'd say to the judge in just a matter of seconds or real brief. I have my speech ready to go, and that was it. And then this person would be over here looking around, doing this, doing that, and it would drive them nuts. It would drive me nuts. But the thing is be truthful and tell the truth. But make sure it is something that you witnessed, something that you saw, something that you heard. And if you have any doubts, don't answer. Just say, I don't know. Be honest, I do not know. There's so much hearsay going on in the courts, and people are going to jail simply because of hearsay. You know, there's not a grand juries today, at this point, are basically just a big joke. Glenn Peterson told me how they do grand juries. He walks in as a police officer who is the eyewitness. The attorney says, the police officer will say this, and the police officer is going to tell you this, and the police officer, if he would speak, he would say this, and he would say this, blah, 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 blah. And then the jury says, oh, okay, I think he's guilty. The whole statement by the attorney was hearsay. The police officer never says anything. People don't understand what hearsay is. The absolute truth of something of your own certain knowledge is when you saw it and heard it yourself, not from a testimony from anybody else. And that is of utmost priority. If you would look in Luke chapter 1, this is how Luke wrote this the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts because he was an eyewitness. Proverbs 29 says, be not hasty in your words. So that's why I say take your time when you're dealing with people. If I would sign a document and gave you that document and walked away and came back, if you had the same document in your hand, and if you asked me, is that your signature, I'd probably say, no. I have no idea. I can't testify to that fact. Why? Because it was out of my presence. You see, most of the time what they do in court is when they bring it, like in a bank foreclosure, they're supposed to bring in the original mortgage note, which 9 times out of 10 they don't. They'll bring in a copy of a copy and they ask this guy, is this your signature? My answer would be no. Well, how do you know it's not your? It's a copy of something. I don't know what it is. Looks like a copy. Looks like a pretty stinky copy, in my opinion. You mean you're telling me that is not your signature? Well, I can clearly tell you that's not my signature. You see? And that is so truthful and honest. Luke chapter 1, verse 3, he says, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. See that? Luke was an eyewitness. And he gave that thing out right in order, and he said, I want you to get the certainty of this. Proverbs 22, 17 to 21 states a very similar idea. And that's why if you see a valid affidavit, it will say, I've made of my own certain knowledge, subject to the pains and penalties of perjury. Okay, and so, let's see. You can question a police officer in a stand. That's a whole other game. Forget that. And when you get questioning, a lot of these questions, if somebody's bombing you with a bunch of questions and they say, and if you answer Fifth Amendment, answer it Fifth Amendment, answer Fifth Amendment, and if you've done that all the way through, they say, well, are you going to take the Fifth Amendment on every question I got from here on out? If you say yes, they can get you for contempt. The answer would be, well, I don't know the rest of the questions. Ha! I didn't use the Fifth Amendment. You see? And so that's very important to get that. Okay, let's see. No, here's the questions I want you to really get in your mind. And I've got Supreme Court cases if you want to read them. Several statements stating that law must be constitutional. But here, to simplify these questions, what you need to get in your mind. If an officer orders you something, question, is that a lawful order? That is an utmost priority. Is that a lawful order? Follow-up question. What statute or regulation are you trying to enforce? Those two questions right there will save many problems. Those two questions. Is that a lawful order? What statute or regulation are you trying to enforce? If he cites a statute or regulation, I would simply say, okay, you're trying to enforce that right now. I will comply, even though I haven't read it. I will go and read it to find out if you are using it properly. Okay, and then the most important thing you can do is have a tape recorder. You should have a tape recorder in every car. You can get a $25 tape recorder, them little mini cassettes at Walmart. I'm not selling them for Walmart, but it's about $25. You have them in every glove box. And every time you deal with any public official, use tape recorder. Very important. There's a street preacher I know that helped a man win a federal case in Pennsylvania simply because he had a video camera. Do you remember hearing somebody in Pennsylvania that was protesting at a gay parade and 4 people and they got arrested and they charged with so many charges? Anybody remember hearing that story? Okay, a couple of you remember that story. They got They won that case simply because of this street preacher that I know had a video camera going through the whole process. If he hadn't had the video camera, those people would be in jail today. You know, why'd Rodney King get so much stuff what he got? Somebody had a video camera. And boy, didn't he capitalize on that. Now, as a Christian, we don't need a tape recorder, but we know our Savior is tape recording us at all times. Now, these people don't know that, but as soon as you whip out a tape recorder, it is sure fun to watch the reactions, because now they're held accountable for everything they say. So, question one, is that a lawful order? Question two, what statute or regulation are you enforcing? Another question you should know, is it in your intention to arrest, question, or detain me? And if the answer is yes to that, okay, then I choose to remain silent. And remain silent. You will keep yourself out of more trouble if you just keep your mouth shut. Most people talk themselves right into trouble. And granted, criminals aren't real bright. A lot of them deserve it anyway. But we need to know the law and obey the law, and but yet act in a Christian behavior so that we could witness to this person. He cannot look at you and say, you are a total obnoxious jerk. No, I behaved quietly to you. I behaved passively. I behaved Christian-like, and I want to win your soul to Jesus Christ. Okay, I don't think we have time for questions, so let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be lawful. Help us to do what we can to help officers who have been misled, public officials or child protection service people who have been misled, or some who know what they're doing is invalid. And Lord, all we ask that we can live free in order to serve you faithfully. Use our liberty, not for an occasion to the flesh, but use our liberty to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.